The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
So we are in Parshas Bo, and the Jewish people are just about to get out. And the first mitzvah that we have in the Torah that's given to the Jewish people is the mitzvah of the sanctification of the new moon. So this is chapter 12, verse 2. HaChodesh hazeh lechem Rosh Chodeshim. This month, or this renewal, is to you Rosh Chodeshim, the head of months. Nishan hu lachem, the first it is to you, l'chodshei hashana, for the months of the year. Now, we learned last week that there are two things going on over here. Number one, this is teaching us that Nisan will be considered the first month of the counting of months for the Jewish people. In other words, when we count months, month number one is Nisan, the month of Pesach. Month number two, three, four follows that. Right? Even though the first of the year is in Tishrei, Tishrei will be called the seventh month. Okay? Which is a little strange. And this month will be unto you, meaning that we will count the month according to the moon. Okay? So Rashi learns out HaChodesh HaZeh Lechem, meaning the renewal, this renewal is to you. And Rashi says, brings down the Midrash, that God pointed to the new moon, because Moshe wasn't really clear what that meant. And basically, learn over here the mitzvah of the sanctification of the new moon based on the month, based on the moon. Right? And that until now, all of mankind has been counting days according to the sun, right? Counting months according to the sun. And now we have something completely new. The Jews are now being instructed that they will now count the month according to the renewal of the moon. Now, what does that mean? It means that when does the new moon start? Everybody knows that the moon gradually becomes filled in and then gradually fills out. Okay? And the beginning of a month for the Jewish people is when the moon has just a sliver of light. Just a sliver of light. Now, how does that work? We have a mitzvah called Kiddush HaChodesh. And that was based on everyone had the responsibility to keep their eyes open on the upcoming of 2 days, because it's out of two possible days that we could see the renewal of the moon. And if you saw the renewal of the moon, you'd run in to give testimony in the court in Jerusalem. The court would ask you various questions to see if they can rely on your testimony. If they can, they say, Makudish, 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 sanctified, 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 and that becomes, that day becomes the first of the month, not the day after. And they would have this whole system of how to let everybody know that that's true. And of course, the significance of that is that Pesach, or any other festival that happens to, on that month, all its laws will be according to how we will sanctify the moon, right? Meaning that the law of not eating bread on matzah and all the various serious punishments that accompany transgressing that will differ a day, right? Which is quite amazing based on what we say. So this is the first mitzvah of the Torah to the Jewish people, right? Odd that it's the first mitzvah. And of course, we'd like to understand what is the meaning of this mitzvah as it is the beginning of the Jewish redemption. Okay? Now, we have to qualify that in Judaism there are three characteristics to existence. There is Olam, Shana, Nefesh, which in English would be referred to as space, time, and being. Yes. Olam, Shana, Nefesh, which is space, time, and being. And the essence of Judaism is the drawing of the divine into all three areas of existence, expressing the immanence of divinity within time, space, and being, individual. Now, Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the new month, is the beginning of national existence. Must be, because it's the first mitzvah to the national, to the nation. And when you think about it, what does it really mean when we sanctify, or we count time or beginnings according to the light of the moon? In contrast to counting time according to the light of the sun. Now, what kind of light is the light of the moon? It's a reflected light. It's a light based on the moon receiving light from the sun and reflecting it. Time based on the moon is time based on relationship. Because it is time based on the relationship between the sun and the moon. Now, the relationship between the sun and the moon symbolically represents the relationship between God and man. God being, so to speak, the giver, the light that gives, that shines, and the moon, the receiver. Right? And everybody knows that the whole point of Judaism, God wants to give of his goodness to another, which is godliness, and that is achieved through relationship with God, that ultimately the human being, through succeeding in receiving the light of God, will thereby reflect godliness. Okay? So there is two types of time. There is created time, which is irregardless of relationship, of who you are and how you stand in relationship. And then there is providential time, which is a function of your relationship. There's created time, which is irregardless of any relationship, right? It has nothing to do with relationship. What is, and what will be, and that's it. Because created, and that's the way it will be. It is not in contrast to providential. Right? Providential means in relationship to who you are. Okay? That's what providence means. God is a supervisor. You see, for the Jewish people, there are two aspects of God. There is God the Creator, the God who took us out of Egypt. And which aspect of God do we generally speak of the most? The God who took us out of Egypt. That seems to be the predominant teaching of Judaism. See, the God who created the world is not necessarily the God who relates to me, who cares about me. Right? You know, the fact that I could prove to somebody or use as a proof of the existence of God, look at the incredible design of the world, that has nothing to do with a religion. Right? Because a religion is based on, and God has a continued relationship with the world. Right? And that relation is a function of your choices and how you choose to stand before God. To show that the world is designed really still doesn't get a person too much closer to the meaning of covenant, the meaning of Judaism. Because the meaning of Judaism is not only is God a creator, but God is a supervisor. Which means that God relates to the actions of man. Man's actions are significant. God imparts divine significance to man, right? And events will occur based on that relationship. Right? That's a different kind of time. When you count time according to the sun, it is a created time, and it is a time that functions irregardless of what will happen during that time, is irregardless of who you are and what you do. But created time is related to the sun. The light of the sun never changes, but the light of the moon changes according to the position of the relationship between the sun and the moon, or the moon and the sun. Okay? So, God had created the world, God had created time, and that time goes on regardless of what you do. But then there's a different kind of time, it's a different dimension of time, which the Jews are going to enter right now. It's called providential time. It's time based on relationship. It's light based on relationship. It's time based on receiving the light of the sun, which is symbolic of the light of God, and reflecting it, depending on the nature of your relationship. So therefore, moonlight is the beginning of time. It's based on moonlight that we count time and events, because it's a time that's based on relationship. So with Brit Milah, with the circumcision, the individual Jew defines themselves based on their relationship with God. So that's being. Being is defined by relationship to God. A human being who stands in relationship to God is a completely different human being. Right? If my personal definition is a function of my relation with God, that means that my personal definition includes God. That means that I have in me the Shekhinah. There's an element of godliness in me, in my personal definition. But now the Jewish people, Brit Milah succeeded in drawing the Shekhinah into being, in relation with being. Kiddush Levana draws godliness into time by defining time according to our relationship with God. Which is what Kiddush HaChodesh is all about. That if the Jewish God is offering the Jewish people partnership in determining time. If you see the month and you bring it to court, and the court says it's the first day, then I will make it the first day. Time will now be a function of our relationship. Right? It will be defined by our relationship. Something which is defined by relationship means that the two parties contribute to it. The relationship includes the two parties. It's defined by the two parties. Right? So this is a completely dimension of time that the Jewish people are entering into. Right? Completely different dimension of time. You see, it's only within the context of providential time that you can have holidays, which are actually called holy days. Right? Because what is a holiday? A holiday is referred to in Judaism as a moed. Right? A moed. And what does moed mean? What? Ah, it's an appointment. It's a meeting. Even the tent was called Ohel Moed, which means the meeting tent. The word Moed is also used in terms of like committees, a va'ad. Same spelling. Right? And Moed means to meet, to encounter. And the holy days of the Jewish people are days where the relationship between God and man available on that day is an intimate, direct relationship between man and God. And it's therefore that those days will happen precisely when the moon is shining full. Right? All the major Jewish holidays are the 15th of the month, Pesach and Sukkot. Right? 15th of the month. Why? Because it's that time that the moon is shining like the sun, which is the vision of Olam Haba. Itself a metaphor that God will be, and man will be in such direct relationship that the human being will reflect godliness, will be imbued with the status of godliness. So it's only within the context of providential time that you could have a moed, a meeting. In created time, you don't meet God. Right? It's time that is irregardless of relationship, irregardless of who you are. It's just time that goes on. And what will be, will be. But in providential time, you're entering into a completely different dimension of time. So therefore, Kiddush HaChodesh is drawing godliness into time by defining time according to relationship. And the ultimate will be that the Jewish people will enter into space, which is defined by relationship with God, called Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, is a dimension unlike any other dimension of space. Because it's a space which is defined by our relationship with God. What makes it a different kind of space, what makes it holy, is because it's a space that God gave us. Right? It is a space that expresses the relationship between God and the Jews, and therefore it's a holy space. So what you have here is that the Jewish people, through Brit Milah, Kiddush HaChodesh, and Eretz Yisrael, they have entered into a completely different state of being, a different dimension of time and space. Being time and space, which is imbued with the Shekhinah, right? A function of relation with God. So, it's kind of a sad thing that Jews today count time still according to the sun. We still use words like January and February because it's really not to our betterment. Geula really will be connected and is connected to changing your time. Right? And particularly here, I believe that what we have here is the birth of a nation. And Avraham Avinu was an individual who succeeded in defining his identity based on his relationship with God. But now we're talking about a nation that defines its identity based on a relationship with God. And a nation who defines its identity based on a relationship with God, what would be the characteristic that makes a nation as such? I mean, you can't circumcise the nation. You can circumcise the individuals. Right? But what is an expression of nationhood and a new definition of nationhood? It's time and space. Right? The calendar of the nation and the space where the nation lives, right, is the place where the nation draws its identity, expressing an identity based on relation with God. You follow this? That's why this is the beginning. Right? I mean, why is it the first mitzvah? Because we're talking about the Jewish people as a people being born. And Kiddush HaChodesh to the nation is like Brit Milah to the individual. Right? By changing your time. But not only do we see Kiddush HaChodesh happening over here, but right with it is Karban Pesach, the slaughtering of the lamb. Now why did they slaughter lamb and how is all this connected? Well, you see, the slaughtering of the lamb, the Ramban says, being that the zodiac of the month of Nisan is the lamb or the ram, right? The Jewish people slaughtered the ram, right? They slaughtered the ram. Now in deeper teaching, you see the Egyptians deified rams, right? Deified the rams. And for the Jewish people to take this ram, tie it down for 4 days, is an absolute challenge to and a defiance of the ideological position of the Egyptians. The Egyptians deified the ram. And what is idol worship all about, or avodah kochavim, star worshipping? Star worshipping is based on manipulating the created forces of the universe. Idol worship is not simply, oh, you know, I take this metal thing and I bow down to it. That's nothing. They weren't into that. That's stupid. What were they into? The Egyptians had a very sophisticated skill in manipulating cosmic forces. The worshipping of stars is actually drawing energies from the stars and manipulating it so it should serve you. Idol worship is actually man's attempt to get the forces of the universe to worship him. Right? By manipulating creative forces. So, the Ramban, Nachmani says that they sacrificed this, or they slaughtered the ram, as a direct defiance of the power that the Egyptians would say they are drawing from. Right? Saying, oh, you know, you're getting out now, because you've probably learned also how to manipulate the forces of the month. No, it's not based on manipulating forces of the month. Right? We slaughter the forces of the month. And I would take what Ramban's saying even deeper in terms of the context that we've just developed. You see, slaughtering the ram is slaughtering created time. And saying, Ein mazal li Yisrael, the fundamental principle in Judaism. We are not a function of the stars. We transcend created time, and we enter into providential time. And even if created time says we're going to die, we're not going to die. Because we have transcended that kind of time. Our time and the events within it are a function of reflected light. So by slaughtering the ram, this itself coordinates with Kiddush HaChodesh, and therefore it's connected. The carbon Pesach in Kiddush HaChodesh, Kiddush Levana, sacrifice of the new moon through the month, through the moon, they're really quite intimately related. Because the sanctification of the new moon, counting time according to the moon, and sanctifying the moon, and contributing to time in this definition through relationship, and slaughtering the ram, they're all connected. It's a defiance of created time, entering a whole new dimension of time. So, the Jewish people, by slaughtering the ram, itself contributes to entering into a whole new dimension of time. But also, the slaughtering of the ram and the spilling of its blood or the painting of its blood on the doorpost means that our space is defined by our relationship with God. I mean, it's an amazing thing. God says, I will see the blood on your door and I will skip over your houses. Right? All the firstborn everywhere are dying, and yet the Jewish people are in the space of Egypt and yet enjoy a different space. Space is defined by their relationship with God, and even though the truth is the Jewish people aren't really worthy, as has been the fundamental theme until now, the miracle of the whole thing is that God skips over their space. So what you have here, even in Egypt, is expressions of the fact that the Jewish people have sanctified time, space, and being. And even the spilling of the blood on the doorposts in Judaism is completely associated with the spilling of the blood of circumcision. And we have a pasuk in Yechezkel, I believe it's 16, chapter 16, that B'damayichayich, which is what we say at a circumcision, through the blood you will live. And we say that, and it's connected to the two bloods, which is the blood of the Pesach and the blood of the circumcision. And what's the connection? So too, just as the blood of circumcision is the expression of covenant on an individual level, the blood of the Paschal Lamb is an expression of covenant on a national level. On a national level. There's this relationship going on. So what we see here is that we have the birth of a nation, and the nation which is going to be a nation which is going to be defined by a relationship with God. Abraham is an individual whose identity is defined by a relationship with God. But now we're entering into a nation who on the national level will be defined by their relationship with God. See, when your identity is defined by your relationship with God, then you transcend time and space. Right? Because had it not been for the relationship with God, then the Jewish people would have no time or space on earth. Right? There's no place and no time that the Jewish people could ever have continued to survive had it not been that they have transcended created time and created space. Right? They've entered into a whole new dimension. A whole new dimension. So this is why these are the first mitzvahs that the nation has. Kiddush HaChodesh, the Paschal Lamb, which all express a whole transformation in their identity. And the Paschal Lamb includes other aspects which I want to share with you. So the Paschal Lamb has various levels of meaning. The first meaning we have brought is killing the force of the time of the month as a suggestion that we are beyond the mazal, we are beyond the created forces, and our existence is based on a relationship with God. Our time will be based on a relationship with God. And there are various characteristics about the Paschal Lamb. Number one, a lot of what's going on over here, which carries over into the matzah, is the element of speed. Right? Everything is done quick. The Rashbam says the reason why the Paschal Ram is roasted is because that's the quickest way of cooking it. And the reason why the law of the Paschal Lamb is that it should be roasted complete, not cut into pieces, because that's the quickest way of cooking it. And the way they're supposed to eat it, in fact, was with their staves in their hands and their shoes ready to go, right? Bichibazon, quick. Yeah? Everything about this whole story is quick. Why? Because quick expresses that you are transcending created time. We have an idea in Judaism that Yeshua Hashem Keheref Ayin, that the salvation of God is like the blink of an eye. You see, when you belong to created time, things take time. You can't expect a whole nation overnight to leave. Right? You know, it takes time. How do people leave the United States? Oh, it takes a lot of time. Right? I have to plan my aliyah. Right? It takes a lot of time, you see? I've got this 15-year plan. I want to come back to the land of Israel. It's called the 15-year plan. And I've got all worked out. Right? I will exactly know how many stocks I'll have, how many bonds I'll have, right? How much money I have in the bank, how much property I own. Right? And then I'm, you know, buying my Lyft. Right? Can you imagine how is the Jewish people like that getting out of Egypt? They didn't even have a chance to put their Lyft together. Right? Gotta get my lift. I gotta find out appliances. You know, I'm sure the appliances in Egypt did not completely coordinate with the appliances in Israel. They're on their way to Israel. This takes time, right? To get out of Egypt, to go to Israel takes time. No, no, no. The only thing that takes time is when you're in the dimension of created time. But when you're in the dimension of providential time, it doesn't take time, right? Because you know that you're working with God. When you're working with the natural process of time, that everything takes time. But when you're working with God, you transcend time. Right? You transcend time. And therefore the quality of this whole thing is time, time, time. You know, making matzvahs really quickly time. Don't let any, you know, the whole thing of speed is a consistent quality of geula. Because geula is not only leaving Egypt and its space, it's leaving Egypt and it's time. Right? It's redemption from Egyptian time into Jewish time. Right? It's redemption from Egyptian space into Jewish space. Right? Because Jewish space and Jewish time is defined by our relationship with God. And that's all. Right? And when your time and space is defined by your relationship with God, then you'll transcend the natural principles of time and space. Right? And that which generally doesn't, space doesn't accommodate, Israel will accommodate. That's what they say is mystically the quality of Eretz Israel. They say that the land of Israel is called Eretz